Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. All right, you probably heard already there was another school shooting, this one in Texas. Here's the governor of Texas.
What happened in Uvalde is a horrific tragedy that cannot be tolerated in the state of Texas. The shooter was Salvador Romas, an 18-year-old male who resided in Uvalde. It's believed that he abandoned his vehicle and entered into the Robb Elementary School in Uvalde with a handgun, and he may have also had a rifle. He shot and killed horrifically, incomprehensibly, 14 students and killed a teacher. He himself is deceased. It's believed that responding officers killed him. It appears that two responding officers were struck by rounds but have no serious injuries. We're in the process of obtaining detailed background information on the subject, his motive, the types of weapons used, the legal authority to possess them, and conduct a comprehensive crime scene investigation and reconstruction, and identify and interview all witnesses and provide victim services and other support as needed.
So that number has changed since that press conference. I believe it's 19 children and three adults. And if we're counting the shooter,
yeah,
let's go with two adults,
yeah,
and one monster. 10 years ago, it was inconceivable, unimaginable, raw, shocking. Remember how you felt when you heard the news?
Yeah.
Sandy Hook?
Yep. Devastated.
It wasn't really because we never read or heard about a school shooting or a mass murder before. It was because it happened to us.
Yeah.
When you're like, I remember reading about Colorado, and I was like, wow, this is horrible. And then you just go on. Sandy Hook was personal.
Yeah.
And an elementary school shooting is really the worst. It's, they're completely defenseless children who had their entire lives ahead of them.
There was no reason for it, none.
Well, there's never any reason for a mass murder.
No, but just when it's children, it's like, oh my God.
That's what's the worst.
It's kids.
They're just kids. And, you know, parents, we're wired to protect children. And so when you can't do that, and it's when it's out of your control, it's really heartbreaking. And then, you know, this happens, unfortunately, often enough now where everybody knows their role. They jump right into it. Before I got on the internet yesterday, already the theater had begun. It was, let's make a grainy intro. Let's put some sad music to it because it's theater. Politicians banging the podium or expressing sorrow. All the expected visuals, police in battle gear, carrying rifles, armored vehicles. Picture of the shooter, parents waiting for word, pictures of victims, press conference, funerals, go through the whole thing. It's like a show. And the problem is there's not one answer. There's not one answer. Groups will dig in and say, this is the answer. Well, it's probably a lot. Not more than one thing. Is there a way to keep humans from wanting to kill humans? Seems like we've been at it for a while.
Long, long time.
Since the beginning.
Yeah.
We love fighting. Or we love watching people fight. We really do.
The sport.
I knew when the country was fixated on Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, something was coming. I knew it.
Yeah, street.
Because it happens all the time. When we're all fixated on something stupid, and then a real problem's going to occur. And you know what's weird about Americans? We are the most medicated group on the planet.
It's true.
We put pharmacies across the street from one another because one can't handle it.
Yeah.
You walk in there. You ever see a person behind a The medicine part of the pharmacy?
Yeah.
Oh.
They look like they've been working really hard for a really long time.
They never bring their head up. They're constantly looking down. Fill.
They haven't slept in a long time.
The place where I go, yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal. I remember when Cheshire happened. It was really weird to hear something like that happen in Cheshire.
Yeah.
And it's horrible to say this, but if it happened in a bad neighborhood, we would have been like, wow, that's horribly sad. What's for dinner?
Right.
It's horrible to say that, but you just scroll through the news. You're like, oh,
yeah.
Murder in Bridgeport.
Yep.
You just keep scrolling. Oh, well, this happened in a nice neighborhood.
I'll stop and read this one.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a drag, man. Those poor parents. I just read some story of a grandfather waiting outside. Friggin' plumber, regular working guy. He's out there at 10 o'clock at night waiting to hear word on his grandkid. Ugh. Just reminds me of Sandy Hook. They gathered them all in the Sandy Hook Fire Department. Now it's late at night. They know. The parents know.
Yeah. With they every
know.
Hour.
They know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I don't like that they show the image of the person and give the person's name and then do a whole backstory. There is part of me that wants to see what evil looks like.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah, the monster.
I do want to see that, but it's... But it makes the person famous.
Yeah.
And when people are sticking things up their ass to be on viral on TikTok, we have to figure this is part of it.
Yeah.
What would drive you to do something like this? Okay, anger, mentally you're screwed up, but also instant fame.
People will know my name.
Mortality.
Yep.
You get to live forever.
Yep.
So I don't know. That part of it has to be part of the discussion. That has to be one of the things we talk about. Like, do we make this person famous? Because they seem to like it. You know?
Yeah. I would think just don't mention the name at all. There's no recognition whatsoever.
Yeah, I know. It's tough, though, because...
Like, they know
you wanna
the information.
Know why.
Yeah.
You want to know... All right, what does evil look like? And what's frightening is, that looks like someone I know. Or it looks like...
Someone you just pass on the street every day.
Dork and Sandy Hook looked like some nerd that you would see, like, in the mall.
Wouldn't even suspect. Just, yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, black robe and a dark face with a sickle. It's like, what? I didn't even expect.
Yeah.
How can someone like that? It looks like they walk... Someone you'd see on the street.
Yep.
So you want to see that, and then you want to hear the backstory. Like, how was there a breaking moment? Like, you want to hear this whole, how did this happen?
The
how
does timeline, yeah.
How does someone that was a beautiful little baby
at one time
in a hospital,
yeah,
go from 18 years later walking into a school,
becoming a huge monster
with a gun?
Yeah.
How does that happen?
What happened somewhere along
what
the line?
What happened?
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah. And I thought we fortified schools. Wasn't there after Sandy Hook?
Like, it's supposed to be.
We're going
to
spend billions on...
Yeah. No, we spend billions and send someplace else.
That's what pissed me off yesterday. Like, I thought, wow, we've had a chance to... And it's horrible to think. We got to fortify schools. But we have to.
I'm
sorry,
hello?
But,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
This has become a place where they think, oh, this is easy. Get to go in.
Yep.
The couple of schools that have done stuff, the ones that are fortified, the school shooters don't go to.
No.
They know they can't get in.
Right.
And then the ones that have armed guards, it's typically over pretty quick unless the armed guard is a coward.
Yeah.
There was that one in Florida where the guy ran.
Yeah.
It's like, you're the guy.
Who's supposed to be.
That. This is your job.
You're the line of defense.
You said you'd do this.
Yeah, you signed
up
for it.
You go run and hide.
Yeah, no, you don't go hide.
Yeah.
This is your job. It's your moment. Go.
But I thought, you know, there was something in a back of my memory, some weird file I didn't file correctly, but I thought we, some legislation after Sandy Hook, it's like, all right, we're going to spend $1 zillion. Like, here you go, school systems. Like,
yeah. There should be something in place.
Better do it. You know, this is a problem that I don't know will ever get solved.
No.
People killing people. We used to throw people to the lions. That was entertainment.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't like, oh.
The gladiators. These are,
what is going on here?
Swords. Yeah.
When did we become so screwed up? Oh, since we were here.
The early parts of civilization. Yes. Quote, unquote, civilization. Yes.
Right.
Right. And who knows what the cavemen did?
We talk about political discord. Oh, look at the political discord. This thing. You know what they used to do? They'd have duels.
Yeah.
they'd kill each other.
Yeah, they'd have a disagreement. Right. It's pistols at dawn. Ten paces and fire.
Yeah. We just have to celebrate the good. It was funny because Monday I'm running around. I'm like, man, I got all this crap I've got going on. I'm really stressed out.
Yeah.
And then you hear a story like this. You're like, oh, actually, I don't have any problems at all.
None.
Zero. So.
Consider yourselves blessed.
What's that?
Consider yourselves blessed. You don't have such problems.
Thanks for showing up.
I mean, sorry, I'm not awake yet.
No, that's all right. You know, it's just I needed a little chuckle.
Oh, hey,
here in this sad story.
I got a lot more coming today.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, I want to say thoughts and prayers, man, but I think we're so beyond that.
We know just, you know, need you more than that. Yeah,
you want to vomit.
Yeah,
and I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did, and I don't think there's one. I don't think there's one thing you say this. We'll stop it all.
Right. Like, you start with good school security. Start with that.
I don't know. I'm not even going to go. It's worth the shot.
You know?
Yeah.
Try it. See what happens.
So, it's a drag. And it brings back a lot of tough memories here.
Yeah.
And it's, I was just talking to someone, you know, Jim Wiltsy, the Vicky Soto 5K.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful tribute they put together for her. And not only do they do this 5K every year, but they raise a tremendous amount of money to go to scholarships for kids because Vicky Soto is a teacher. It's really a beautiful tribute to her.
Yeah.
And we're coming up on the 10th anniversary, and the 5K will be held on her birthday, or what would have been her birthday. And, you know, typically when these things start, the first couple years, it's really busy because people are feeling sad. And then after 4, 5, 6 years, people are like, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
This one gets bigger every year.
It's true.
It makes my heart warm.
Yeah.
That
it's a sea of people.
Happened. Yep. Sheriff Larry Weberking, Sheriff of Taylor County in Wisconsin. Good morning, sir. Thank you for what you do.
Good morning.
Morning.
What happened?
Well, yeah, if you want a brief overview, I'll just what happened was the couple saw a black bear, an adult black bear, out in their backyard by the bird feeder. They usually put the bird feeder away every night to avoid that problem. So they kind of just opened the window up, talked through the screen of the window, and they just kind of tried to shoo it out of its back window, and it charged, it attacked the home. It crashed up in through the window. Now, this is not a patio door where you typically walk in and out. It had to crawl through a window.
Oh.
Got in, busted up through the window, and immediately attacked the wife. It was the first thing that the bear encountered through the window was the wife, and immediately attacked her.
Does this does this make sense to you, Sheriff?
Well, I heard there was a cub nearby. Was it a mom?
Yes, it was mom, and there was a cub. Now, this wasn't a baby cub. It probably can survive on its own. It was with the mother for a while, but yes, it did have a cub and a feeding source, which would have been the bird seed, obviously.
But just yelling at the bear would get that bear.
Yeah, what'd they say?
To come in.
What'd you say?
Yeah, what'd they say?
What did you say?
You look so cute and fuzzy.
You call me Yogi?
Yeah.
Just yelling at the bear would get the bear to come through a window?
So, on a bad day.
Where's your picnic basket?
Does that make sense?
It was not difficult at all. Very aggressive reaction. The husband then jumped on top of the bear.
Oh, no.
To try to save his wife. And then he immediately went hand to hand with this bear, and which ultimately gave the wife time to scramble to the kitchen. She grabbed a steak knife.
Oh,
and
she
no.
jumped on it and stabbed it.
Oh.
And she stabbed it with the steak knife.
Ooh.
This was a full out fight for survival. For
yeah.
Improper use of that tool, too.
Yeah.
Not when your life's threatened.
No way.
Wow.
The husband then was able to scramble out from underneath the bear at the time that the wife stabbed. He was able to retrieve a firearm from the bedroom. And then they have ultimately then shot the bear and survived. But they had four kids in the house at the time, and luckily they never woke up.
The kids never woke up.
Damn, those kids can sleep, huh?
Wow.
That's unbelievable.
I had no idea, right.
That is really amazing.
A leaf falls outside before I wake up.
No, but, like, does the bear get tested for anything? Because it just seems...
Yeah, more aggressive than usual.
Yes.
To come to the house. I heard it posted a DoorDash delivery at first, but yeah.
Yeah, so the Wisconsin DNR took the bear in for testing. We'll be testing it for rabies. And, you know, it was atypical. It was not the typical type of response from the bear usually. I mean, we have a lot of bear in this area. I think maybe you folks do over there as well. But it's not uncommon for us to encounter bear here. It happens frequently. And you usually wave your hands or make some noise, and they'll run off. So this
right.
was a very aggressive response.
Yeah, but through the window, because it was no longer in danger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's coming through the window.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Something triggered it big time.
Something happened.
Yeah. And it goes after the wife.
Yeah.
Well, you know. Wow, this is
a chick fight, you know. Yeah. I hate what you're wearing. Oh, yeah!
And then a fist fight with the dude, and she grabs a knife, and she stabbed him once.
This is like a movie ending, yeah.
Yeah, she stabbed so hard that she bent the end of the knife, so we were feeling that she probably got some sort of bone, so it was a good stab, which probably saved the husband, because then the bear was able to kind of stop attacking the husband. He was on top of him at that point.
Right. Oh,
and gave
God.
The husband a chance to run down the hall because they locked the gun up in a lockbox because they have small children. So it took a little time to get that.
The bear said, "You got me."
This is unbelievable.
Yes. Wow.
It's really something.
Yeah.
And then now you got to shoot this bear in your house and hope you don't hit a human.
Right.
With all this craziness going on.
Well, I'm sure it was
right.
Late,
and
it was
the thing is the kids sleep downstairs, so he had to be aware of where he was discharging the firearm, because obviously he's pointing downward towards the floor. So
yeah,
a lot of things were going through his mind as well.
Yeah.
And he didn't have a lot of time to think it out.
No, yeah. Wow. No. What a thought process.
Yes.
And those two, don't screw with them.
No way.
Holy crap.
Right. Don't wear a fur coat around them either.
Sheriff Larry Weberking on the phone talking about this bear that came into a house, attacked the couple.
Yeah.
The couple fought for survival.
They did.
And won.
They clawed their way through.
No kidding.
I saw the picture of the bear on the floor. It was interesting that the bear was dead, but they pixelated the face.
Yeah.
You know how they do that with humans?
Yeah. Yeah, well, just wait.
Well, I think there was some blood there, and I think some agencies pixelated actually the blood.
Oh.
Now,
do you do a chalk line around the bear for the investigation? Or?
No, sir, we did not. No.
Okay, just checking.
Wow, that is something. What do those two do for a living?
They're called BSI.
Well, so I can tell you the husband is in law enforcement, and the wife is in the medical field. Okay. They've asked to stay anonymous. They've been getting some, believe it or not, they've been getting a lot of hate.
It's
hate
unbelievable. The bear was attacking them in their home. This isn't an outside, you know, shoe, and I
heard
shot him anyway.
The bear originally owned that home, and they bought it for a cheap price, and the bear's pretty mad about it.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's it's sad that they would get grief for that. I mean, it's a crazy bear in their house and protecting their family. But I can see now how that, you know, I mean, law enforcement and like those two people are not, you know, not
to be messed with.
Well, they've been in emergency situations where they have to make quick decisions.
React.
Okay,
yes.
So yeah, not complete amateurs.
Right, they're not
here.
Strangers to quick decisions.
Yeah.
life, you know, life decisions.
Yeah, so like he's a CPA life or and death. She works at Pottery Barn. Yeah, no, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. Like it's not, he's an accountant and yeah. she works at Pottery Barn.
Right, not like that. So these two are trained.
Holy crap, that is really something. Now, do you have to conduct an investigation after this because there was a shooting or not at all?
Each with a barrister, things like that?
Yeah, so we do an investigation, which is concluded. There is, I mean, this couple acted very appropriately for the bad circumstance they were thrust into. So the investigation is completed. There's no wrongdoing by anybody. The only thing that's open and active now is just the testing on the bear to see if the bear was in some sort of poor health.
Gotcha. Right, now, the sheriff, how long have you been doing this, you know, being a sheriff in law enforcement, and have you ever seen anything like this?
I've been doing this for 35 years, and I've never seen anything like this. This is my first one.
Well, hopefully your last one.
Hopefully.
Mm. Wow. Wow. That is, I'd be interested to know more about this bear to come through the window.
Yeah, what triggered it? Yeah.
Yeah, that was just a bear looking for trouble.
Was she wearing like cherry pie cologne or something like that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Air of tuna, yes.
No, what happened was the husband.
Salmon.
The husband said, honey. The bear said, honey.
I want honey.
I want honey.
Sheriff, thank you so much for coming on and glad it it didn't result in the loss of human life.
Yes.
Who do I know who's had an animal in the house?
like a wild animal?
Megan Dahl.
Oh.
Get out of here.
Hi.
Megan!
Good morning.
Hi. We had a raccoon that would venture in and out often.
Oh. Picture Mark drunk.
like a frequent guest.
You couldn't keep him out?
Right. We had a rip in our screen for our spider, and our home was next to a creek. So anyway, this raccoon would come in, and he would live in, like, our closet, which was right next to the screen door, so we didn't really know. And of course, you know, there's a grill on the back patio, so it was very appealing. But one time, it actually wasn't in our house, Chaz. It was, I mean, it got to the point where one time it was on our refrigerator, like on the roof of the top of the refrigerator.
It feels like in the house.
Did it pose a cookie jar? Or what?
I couldn't open this. Can someone help me?
This jar pickles is too tough.
It would just leave. It would go right back out again as soon as you told us that, or you reacted. It would jump down and run out the screen door again. But one time, my brother came home. It was late at night. It was my brother Hank, and he comes home, and the garage door was open.
Well, the car's gone.
So he's the last one in the house. So he goes to shut the garage door, and the raccoon was actually sleeping on the garage door, like in between the door and the ceiling of the garage.
Right.
So when he pulled the
oh god,
when he pulled the garage door down. Just landed on his face.
Also, the coonskin hat. hey, Daniel, boom!
Literally.
That's awesome.
I love how you're not worried about, like, rabies. You're like, it was hilarious.
You know, and it wasn't, like, mean, you know? It just wanted to hang out and take
our
food.
Yeah. You guys got good food. Yeah, apparently so.
We made it easily available.
Yeah.
I love it when both parties, animal and human, are equally surprised.
Yes.
Like, I was just pulling down a garage door. I was just sleeping.
Right. Next thing I know, I'm on some guy's head.
What do you want from me?
By the way, you guys are out of breakfast cereal.
Right. And I'd like some peanut butter.
And scotch.
Oh.
And why don't you put the bananas on top of the refrigerator anymore?
Right. All these things you learned.
Why did I think you had an animal in your house and you and Mark chased it around the house?
Oh, that was a chipmunk. That wasn't a raccoon.
Oh, okay.
That was a chipmunk. And it was
that cat
was really bad. That thing was really
they're fast.
Aggressive.
Yeah.
The chipmunk?
Aggressive.
It would come down.
He'll take your toenail off.
Yeah. Grab a tennis racket.
Oh, no. Like, we had... He's like he made... Like, Mark would make these tunnels with, like, cushions to, like, guide it to the door.
Really? He engineered the escape?
And the thing... this is really bad. We had it in our house, and he was golfing. I'm like, there's a chipmunk in the house, and he's laughing at me. He's like, I'll take care of it, because I couldn't, apparently.
Right.
And then he gets home, and he realizes that this chipmunk is really taking ownership of the house. that is in our house for a couple of days. But it would go, like, it would be on my computer keyboard, and then it would be
sending emails.
We'd be upstairs, and we can hear it. It burrowed through like a bag of chips, and like we'll be lying in bed, and we can hear him crunching on the chips downstairs.
Yeah, but the worst part is when you heard him make dip
watching TV.
Right? Is the microwave going on now?
Toilet flush.
You're making queso?
We just got a call from a tribe member. Apparently, Megan's had a lot of issues with animals. Wasn't there like a fox den under your porch?
Oh, yes,
or something?
Right. Forgot about that. Yeah.
Yes, and then someone came over and donated some. Oh my God, it was a milk bucket of coyote urine.
Right.
Excuse me?
To intimidate them away.
Yeah.
I thought it was beer. So
yeah,
I remember
so you
this.
Take the coyote and you sprinkle it.
Yeah.
So, and you know, they smell it and they just want to keep their baby safe. So they moved the den, you know,
yeah.
And it was near the bus stop. So we were concerned that the mother would be like aggressive towards the kids at the bus stop because, you know, she was protecting her young.
That yeah,
was
of course.
The only, that was the big concern.
Yeah.
So anyway, someone, I mean, it worked right away. Coyote urine is the thing to get. I don't know how you get it. But
they use it in bars,
anyway.
Too.
You just squeeze it out like a towel.
1:30 in the morning, get the coyote urine.
We kept this milk jug in our garage.
Ew.
And like 5 years later, there's this terrible smell that's permeating through our home. I'm like, what the hell is that gross smell? And it turned out, after a few years, the urine actually ate through the plastic in the jug.
What the hell was that thing?
Very acidic.
If you're going to store it, make sure you use a glass jar.
Gotcha. Good to know in case you need coyote urine.
All right. Thank you, Megan. We miss you, and great to hear your voice. Theodore Mackey, United States Navy SEAL, Vietnam veteran, on the show now. Thank you for your service, sir.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Vietnam Traveling Memorial Wall is coming to Cheshire. It's hosted by Because of the Brave and opening ceremonies at Bartlett Park in Cheshire, June 2nd, 6:30 p.m. The wall will be in Cheshire next week from June 1st to 6th. We're linked up on the radio station website. Sir, you served in Vietnam from 1970 to 71 with SEAL Team 2?
Yes.
What were SEALs doing there in Vietnam then?
Well, we did a multitude of things. Myself, personally, I was by myself. I wasn't with other SEALs most of the time because I was I was a weapons expert, and I used to train South Vietnamese and Cambodians weapons.
Oh, okay.
And after about 2 weeks of training them, both weapons and some explosives, then I'd go on patrol with them for a week and to get clear them to make sure they knew what they were doing.
Wow.
So basically, that's kind of what I did most of my time.
What kind of explosives?
Plastic explosives, which they weren't that familiar with.
Like C4, stuff like that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, bring us through that. How does that work? I see television, it looks like clay, and they stick it to a wall, and it goes off. Like, how does it really work?
Well, it can work a lot of different ways. There were different ways to ignite it. There was, they had special fuses that you could use where you could actually light it. They had electronic igniters where you could set off almost like a trip flare.
Wow.
It would set the plastic explosive off. And you could shape and bend the plastic explosive to put it in different places on top of a door. There's all kinds of different things you could do with it.
What
bury it in the ground.
If you're able to shape it, what makes it explode?
The stuff itself, right?
So is it, did we lose you?
Hello?
Hmm.
I see him still on the line.
Yeah, it looks like he's still there.
Maybe a bad cell or something like that?
Hmm.
Maybe. Well, did you hit mute?
Sometimes I do that with my fat chin.
Yeah, mute. I've done that before.
No, on the cell phone.
Oh, maybe he did.
Yeah.
Theodore, we can't hear you.
I hear something. I think he's going to a cell.
You think so?
You'll hear a little clicking in and out.
Hmm.
I was thinking, like, remember Bill Murray had that in Caddyshack? He made Mr. Gopher and the bunny rabbit and whatnot. Yeah.
Movies and cartoons.
No, life reference. Caddyshack is not a cartoon. It's a movie.
Remember? I said movies and cartoons.
Okay, cool. I want to sound more adult.
Hold on. Let's put it on hold.
Okay. I am curious myself, though. What makes it go off?
It has to be the spark. So yeah. It has to be...
I would imagine...
So if you're carrying this stuff around, you have to be very, I'm guessing...
Yeah.
Very careful in terms of spark.
Don't smoke. Right? No fireworks.
Yeah. Is he there?
I heard him clearly when I spoke with
Hello,
him.
Hello, Theodore?
I'm here.
There you are. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened with our phone.
Yeah.
But I was just asking about plastic explosives. What made it ignite or explode?
There were special detonators we had to use with them. They were a mercury fulminate detonator. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's it looked like a little tube. You put it in there, and there's different ways you could set them off. You could have you could light a fuse, or you could set it so we'd go off electronically with a sensor.
That's really interesting. So when you're carrying that around, is there any danger that that could just randomly go off?
Very little. The plastic explosive itself?
Yeah.
Very little.
Oh.
We're talking to Theodore Mackey, United States Navy SEAL, Vietnam veteran, and we thank you for your service.
Absolutely.
I saw here that a jungle dog saved your life many times.
Yeah, he did. Mm. I happened to come across him one day when I was on a patrol in the jungle, and he was just a loose dog that never had an owner or anything, just grew up in the jungle. And he wasn't that old. He was kind of young when I first met him. And he followed me around, and I kind of adopted him. And he ended up coming back with me to my main base when I finished patrol. And he spent, from that day on, he spent every minute with me.
Aww.
And many a time, I'd be sitting in a bunker behind a machine gun at night, waiting for making sure nobody's crossing our lines or whatever. And I would have all kinds of flares set up and trip flares, but I wouldn't see or hear anything. And all of a sudden, he'd be looking out there growling very, very lowly. And I couldn't see, still didn't see anything. And I said, thinking to myself, what could be wrong? He sees something I can't see. So I'd shoot a flare up in the air, and sure enough, there'd be like 30 guys coming through the lines.
Oops.
Wow.
So, hello.
30.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's the kind of thing he did for me. And he stayed with me the whole time. And I would have loved to brought him home.
No, you didn't.
No, I couldn't because he would have had to stay in quarantine in Saigon for 3 months. And then once he finished that, they flew him to California, he had to stay in quarantine for 6 months.
Ooh,
before
nice.
They let me take him back to Connecticut.
Wow.
And he would have never survived that.
Yeah.
And as it turned out, I got a letter from one of the guys. Once I came home, a couple months later, I got a letter from one of the guys that he was killed in a mortar attack.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
It almost made me feel better. I didn't have to worry about him anymore. But it was a very, very sad story. But I could tell you guys stories for hours.
Please do.
I'd love to hear them.
What kind of dog was it, and did you name him?
Yeah, I called him Buddy. That was his name.
He was your buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was my buddy. That's how we got the name.
Yep.
Can
but,
you imagine
he was a jungle dog?
Dog.
He wasn't a he was a mongrel, a mix of all kinds. He was small. He probably weighed 20 pounds, 15 pounds.
That's a small dog.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's great.
You wouldn't picture a small dog like that in the jungle, you know?
It's a little buddy.
Yeah. I know.
Think about how tenacious that dog was to survive on its own, to hunt its own food.
Scrappy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
jungle
was out
there.
You know, my mom used to, you know, I wrote letters to her telling them I had them. And she'd send me packages in the mail, which would take like a month to get there, but with dog treats and things like that for him. He wouldn't touch them. He wouldn't eat them.
Oh, really?
I couldn't feed him anything. He would get his own. He'd go down by the river and find dead fish or whatever, and that's what he would eat.
Wow.
It's an acquired taste.
He
sushi.
Took care of himself.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, he probably smelled
that?
Those biscuits and like, there's a lot of preservatives. I'm going to go down and get the real thing. That's all right.
That's not healthy for
me. I like
to
eat healthy.
There's a lot of preservatives.
Fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have some rice.
Probably sorbet something. Yeah.
So I never fed him. I tried many a time. He wouldn't eat anything. He ate on his own.
No.
So I'm guessing if you're on watch, and Buddy growls, and you shoot up a flare and see 30 guys.
It's go time. That's,
it's go time. All hell breaks loose at that point.
Oh, yeah. It was. It was.
Man.
Firefight.
He knew what I was doing. It was amazing, the relationship I had. It's like he knew exactly what was going on.
Would he sleep with you?
Yep.
Wow, man.
Oh, yeah. I definitely want him next to me.
Yeah, right?
This dog is good.
He's never leaving my side again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, I know.
That's pretty incredible.
That's how I felt.
How did you, you were there from 70 to 71. How does one leave? So you were there in an advisory role, so that you were there for a one-year mission?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Then you get a letter to go back to the States, right?
Yeah, that's what I did. I came back. I flew out of there, and it took a while. I had many, many different stops. But flew back to the States, California, and then from the California, I got a flight back to Connecticut, New York.
How old were you when you went to Vietnam?
I was 22 and 23.
Wow. Just a baby.
Yeah, pretty much.
I want to say baby. Young man.
Young man, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's how do you think that that experience changed your life?
It did change my life a lot of ways. My perspective on life and things is very positive because I've seen all the negative ways life can be affected, and I lived through it, luckily. I never thought I would, but I did.
Wow.
And I just appreciate every day seeing the sun, seeing my friends, and I think I'm not alone either. I think most of the fellows that served over there have, a lot of them have that same attitude I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think an experience like that will put things in perspective.
Absolutely.
To what's important and what's really
big time.
A deal. You know, you were just talking about other people who have served there. Dennis from Waterbury heard you speaking. I hope it's okay if I conference him in. Dennis from Waterbury, you were there at the same time?
No, I never went to Nam. I was on a LSD, which was a dock landing ship. And like I said before, when I was in, we used to carry troops and everything. We had, at that time, we called them UDT, Underwater Demolition Team. And they didn't become SEALs until, well, 1983, I think.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I was just wondering if Theodore, if he went as UDT when he was in.
Yeah, that's what we started as.
Okay.
Gotcha.
I never knew that before.
I had no idea.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Dennis, nobody knew what a SEAL was. It was like non-existent. But that's how they started. They did start with UDT. Dennis is right.
Yeah, if UDT was your name, I wouldn't even know what that meant.
Demolition. It was Underwater Demolition Team.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
They became SEALs in 1983.
And Dennis, you were there from 70 to 71 as well?
No, I was never in Nam. I put in for Nam about six times, and I was on the same ship for 4 years.
Wow.
And I got turned down every time I put in for it. I was a salt boat coxswain, so I wanted to be on the river patrol boats.
Gotcha.
Well, and Dennis,
thank you for your service. Thank you for calling in, brother. Appreciate
you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dennis.
Theodore, what is this traveling Vietnam Wall Memorial mean to you when you see it?
It means everything. It's very emotional for me. Just even walking by it, which I've done. Of course, I've been to Washington and walked by the real one. But it's very emotional, and I've looked all the names of partners I had over there that never came home, and it's quite a few. I've found them all on the wall.
Wow.
And they have methods for you to find them. So, but I've done it. Yeah. And in Washington, D.C., I did it.
So many names.
As well as the movable one. Last time it was in Cheshire.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm. We're very proud to be talking about it on the air, and AJ and I will be there when it rolls in. And we can't thank you and everyone who served.
Well, I did it for a great country and great people in it.
You're a great person.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you,
Theodore. Appreciate you.
You're entirely welcome.
Thank you.
Describe the scene, then we'll play some audio.
Well, they're all in the back porch, in the patio area. There's the husband and the wife, and they have a little kid already.
Yeah.
And they're doing the gender reveal.
Why do we have to do this?
He blows off. There's like a little like a confetti cannon. He shoots that off first, and then they blast the powder. But when they blast
Is the confetti pink?
No, the confetti is regular confetti color. There's a second cannon that the girl shoots off.
Why would they do the confetti first and the color?
Instead of firing upwards, she fires it straight out.
Who, the mom?
Yep, the mom-to-be. And she blasts it, and you just see this big burst of pink come out. And next thing you know, you see grandma.
Like a cartoon.
Exactly.
Pink face.
Right. But it's her tongue and everything. Like her mouth must have been open and just boom.
This is the best gender reveal.
I laughed out loud because she's like, at the end of this audio, you can hear her trying to spit it out.
So look, the kid kicks a ball. There's a ball that he kicks that explodes into the powder.
Yep.
Is that what happens?
That's what hits her.
That was it, yeah.
Oh, it's not a cannon.
I forget what it was. I was just laughing so freaking hard.
He didn't even look at it.
Details.
I just saw the grandma with the big pink face.
Yeah, who cares?
Facts.
You've been fact-checked.
Boom. You know, we have to do one of these. This has to be an AJ challenge, like just a gender reveal, and it just goes wrong in his face. All right, maybe not.
Or we can just wait till one of these has kids and do it then.
Okay. One of these.
One of these.
One of these.
Right.
I am a human.
I'd like to think we're your friends also. I don't
Co-workers,
know.
Yeah.
Just get to the audio.
Okay. Oh! Oh, my God. Is that me?
Your grandma?
Oh, my God, you were there.
I think that's a dog.
The dog
sounds like a duck.
The dog barking sounds like you laughing, but you hear grandma going, and then there's a...
Wait, that's a dog barking?
Yeah.
Oh, it is a dog.
So you guys,
I thought it was someone choking or laughing.
Someone is choking.
I'm choking.
AJ's getting mad.
AJ's so mad.
Everybody talks right over the spot where she goes.
No,
all right, now you know how I feel.
I know. I
okay.
Well met, yes.
All right, here we go.
Get some water.
Oh, no, it's a girl.
It's a girl.
No one helps her. Just leaves her alone.
Just get her some water. That's all he says. I'm guessing that's grandpa. Get her some water. It's priceless though, because all you see is just her pink face and her tongue.
Her tongue is coated.
I mean, she took a direct hit right to the mush.
Right.
She was going, yay, and then the ball just hits her. You know, so that's unfortunately what you don't see. You see the kid kick the ball. You see the pink dust, like the powder, the chalk powder
where the
or whatever.
The impact happened.
So this is the gender reveal. The kid kicked the ball.
Yeah. And the ball had powder in it.
What was the ball supposed to hit?
I don't know. He was going to kick it. It was going to explode into dust.
Just granny took it to the face.
Oh, wow.
Wasn't wealth. First of all, it's not a really big patio.
No,
it's, you know, it's those British flats, all those row houses.
Yeah.
So it's like a 9x12.
He is right. There's not a lot of room here.
Yeah, with like a little strip of grass, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah. So that ball wasn't going to go. It probably would have ricocheted and came back and hit the rest of them.
Yeah, it wasn't
if grandma
good.
Didn't take it to the face.
Honestly, it looks like she didn't even know this was happening yet.
Yeah.
She's got half of a cigarette. She's holding a half a smoked cigarette. I feel like she was leaning on the gate, like just kind of smoking and turned around and then just got blasted.
It's awesome.
Is there any pink dust come out of her mouth when she coughs?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she is, Chaz, she's covered. It's in her hair. It's in her ears.
Her
it's
shirt,
on her
everything.
Face. It's everywhere. In
everywhere.
Her nose.
Yep.
There's a lot of Q-tips to clean that all out of crevices.
If you look at the thumbnail on the Facebook page, it shows her face.
It's a solid grandma sweater she's got on, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, she got blasted big time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's some pink. A bottle of Pepto-Bismol blew up in her face. Boom. Awesome.
There's just too much to watch anything on the internet now. They make it so, like, click this, click that, watch this.
Yeah. Right,
so, not worth it.
Yeah, I don't know what the kid was aiming at, AJ. It's a good question.
I think just...
What's the kid being a kid? I don't know. I'll just kick it.
Boom. And grandma caught it.
Ugh. Face. Right to the face.
Ugh. Direct hit.
All right, next headline. McDonald's customer blocks drive-thru for 2 hours.
There he is now.
Sent to us by tribe member Joe Pontino.
Joey.
He's a chief correspondent. In
yes,
Dumbass
he is. Now. Yeah. Our man in the field.
A lot of stories.
Yep.
Stuart Yates, 55, refused to move his vehicle from the drive-thru window after he said staff asked him to wait in the car park for 2 double sausage egg McMuffins. That's a special order, right? 2
double sausage, yeah.
Yeah.
Usually just a sausage McMuffin, yeah.
Yeah, you get one patty.
Yeah. Yeah, but he wants double. He wants twice.
Yeah, but it doesn't take 2 hours to make that happen.
Yates claimed he had complained on a previous visit to the drive-thru after being asked to wait 15 minutes for his food in the car park.
Now, he blocked it for 2 hours. He was waiting for 2 hours.
He said on this occasion he refused to wait. Yates added he was offered a refund, but staff wanted to put it back on his credit card. He claimed an employee threw his money. Wait, he offered a refund by staff, but he wanted it. He wanted it put back on his credit card.
Right. They just wanted to give him the money.
They wanted to give him the money. They threw the money on his roof.
Yeah. That's nasty. You don't
I'm with
that.
This guy.
Yeah. I mean, there was one McDonald's I was going to for a while, and they just never got it right, and I just stopped going there.
Hmm.
I know what you're going to do.
What am I going to do?
You're going to hit the It's All About AJ button. It's
all about AJ.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm just saying. I'm just not saying.
So after threatening to stay there all week.
Get hungry.
What a threat.
This is the person you do not want to be behind.
Nope. I got nowhere to be. I got nothing to do.
Right.
He blocked the drive-thru for 2 hours until police arrived. Yates said, quote, I'm not moving. I'm well within my rights asking for a refund to be put back on my card.
Put it back on what card?
I don't feel like that's a ridiculous request.
No.
They eventually gave me a refund and tried passing me along a letter they had typed out, but I refused to accept it. I hadn't sworn. I hadn't done anything threatening. I hadn't broken any laws. End quote. Yates arrived at the restaurant around 9:30 in the morning, ordered 2 sausage and egg McMuffins for his son and friend. Now it's just regular sausage, not double. Oh, so when they said double, did they mean, no.
Like
said,
a double order?
A double order, like
no, they
two
said
them?
2 double sausage
okay.
And egg McMuffins.
So the person who wrote that story needs to
sober up.
It's on the side of the road somewhere.
Yates eventually left without the sausage and egg McMuffins after all this.
Wow, what a waste.
How's it taste?
Police had to arrive. you're just hungry. All you want is a freaking double sausage egg McMuffin.
That's all you want. Now 0-2.
Yeah.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.